service. during Advent, we at St. Peter's have been journeying through this book called The Christmas Mystery by Justine Garder. And each day is a day in Advent, is an Advent window. So we've been reading that together and entering into each Sunday. It finishes obviously on Christmas Eve when Advent calendars finish. But lots of people who came to our contemporary carol service wanted to know how the story ends. So I'm going to read the final chapter of this. So it's all talking about Christmas Eve. So this is last night and yesterday's bits. I hope you're sitting comfortably for a nice Christmassy story. For those of you who've not been reading the book, this is going to make absolutely no sense to you. It's all right. You'll enjoy it anyway. Christmas Eve began as usual. There was always some last-minute task that had to be done, and late-minute presents to be wrapped up. Now and again, one of them would sneak into Joachim's room and glance expectantly at the magic calendar. They had promised not to open it until the bells rang Christmas in. Later in the day, they began to prepare Christmas dinner. Before long, the whole house was smelling of Christmas. At last, it was 5 o'clock, and Papa opened a window, and now they could hear the church bells ringing. Nobody said anything, but they all crept into the bedroom. Joachim climbed onto the bed and opened the last big door in the Advent calendar. It was the one that covered the manger with the Christ child. The picture beneath it showed a cave in a mountain. For the last time they sat on the edge of the bed, Joachim unfolded the thin sheet of paper and read aloud to Mama and Papa. The Christ child. It's the middle of the world between Europe, Asia, and Africa. It's in the middle of history at the beginning of our era. Soon it will be in the middle of the night as well. A silent crowd is stealing up towards and between the houses in Bethlehem. They are a little flock of 7 sheep, 4 shepherds, 5 angels of the Lord, 3 kings of the Orient, 1 Roman emperor, the governor of Syria, and Elizabeth from the long, narrow country below the North Pole. A weak glow of oil lamps is streaming from the windows in a few of the simple houses, but most people in the old town had gone to bed for the night. One of the wise men points up to the sky where the stars are burning in the darkness. They are all like sparks from a beacon far away. One star is shining more brightly than all the other stars in the sky. It looks as if it's hanging a little lower in the sky as well. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by, murmurs Elizabeth softly, remembering an old carol. The angel, imperial, turns towards the others, puts a finger to his lips and whispers, hush, hush. The procession of pilgrims gather in front of one of the inns of the town. In a moment or two, the innkeeper appears at the window. When he sees the group outside, he nods firmly, points to a cave in the wall of rock. The angel of Firiel whispers something. It sounds like the words of a nursery rhyme. And while they were there, the time came for her child to be born, and she gave birth to her son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. They creep across the yard and stop in front of the cave. The smell of it tells them that it is a stable. Suddenly, the silence is broken by the cry of a child. It is happening now. It is happening in a stable in Bethlehem. Over the stable, a star is twinkling. Inside the stable, the newborn child is wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. There is a meeting of heaven and earth, for the child in the manger is also a spark from the great beacon behind those weak lanterns in the sky. This is the wonder. It is the wonder every time a new child comes into the world. This is how it is when the world is created anew under heaven. A woman is breathing deeply and weeping, not out of sadness. Mary is weeping quietly, deeply, and happily. But the child's cries drown out Mary. The Christ child is born. He has been born in a stable in Bethlehem. He has come to our miserable world. The angel Ephraim turns solemnly towards the other pilgrim and says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior. The emperor Augustus nods. And now it's our turn. Everyone is to take up their places. Everyone must remember their lines. We've rehearsed this for almost 2,000 years. Quirinus speaks. at a sign from the emperor.
Shepherds,
take your flock out into the field and never forget to be good shepherds. Wise men, depart to the desert and mount your camels, each one of you. May you never cease to read the stars in the sky. Angels, fly high above the clouds, all of you. Do not reveal yourselves to people on earth unless it's absolutely necessary. And never forget to say, fear not, for now Jesus is born. The next moment, all the shepherds and sheep, the angels and the wise men had vanished. Elizabeth was left alone with Quirinus and the Emperor Augustus. I must hurry home to Damascus, said Quirinus. I have an important role to play there. And I must go back to Rome, said Augustus. That is my role. Before they went, Elizabeth pointed at the stable and asked, do you think I may go in? The emperor smiled from ear to ear. Of course you are to go in. That is your role. Quirinus nodded energetically. You haven't come all this long way just to hang about. With those words, the two Romans started running back along the way they had come. Elizabeth looked up at the starry sky. She had to tilt her head far back to see the big star which was shining so brightly. Again, she heard the cry of a child from inside the cave, so she went into the stable. Papa got up from the bed and punched Joachim on the shoulder. Well, we certainly took a remarkable advent calendar home with us this year, he said. He seemed to have finished with it all. Joachim wasn't pleased as he was for what had happened to Elizabeth. Mama sat for a while, thinking too. When she got to her feet at last, she said, Christmas dinner will be ready soon. Perhaps you could put the presents under the tree while we're waiting. There are a few little surprises this year as well. That was exactly what she said. Then the doorbell rang. It was Joachim who opened it again, and again old John was standing outside. Today he was beaming even more than yesterday. I've come just to say thank you, he said. Mama and Papa hurried up to beckon him in. The macaroon cake was put out onto the table again, and only the topmost ring was missing. Papa had put a ball of red marzipan on it instead. Joachim brought out coffee cups and plates. They sat round the coffee table, and John looked at all three of them in turn. He had a mysterious expression on his face. When I drew the large picture of the advent calendar, he said, I tried to do it in such a way that there would be something new to discover. All God's creation was like that, I thought. The more we understand, the more we see things around us. And the more we see things around us, the more we understand. So there will always be something new to discover, if only we have eyes and our ears open to the remarkable world we live in. Papa nodded, and John went on. But I didn't know that the calendar was made so that the person who read the scraps of paper would also solve the old mystery of the little girl who disappeared from town almost 50 years ago. Have you found out something more about Elizabeth? Asked Joachim. But John didn't have time to answer, for the next moment the doorbell went again. Mama looked at Papa, and Papa looked at Mama. You'd better open it, Joachim, said John. I expect you're the person who's opened all the doors in the magic advent calendar. Now you must open this last door as well, but you must open it from the inside. As he crossed the floor, Joachim noticed that Mama and Papa were holding hands. Surely they weren't afraid that it might be the angel Ephraim come to visit. When he opened the front door, a woman, aged about 50, was standing there. She was wearing a red coat and had fair hair with little grey in it. The woman gave a big smile and held out her hands. Joachim, she said. Joachim felt a bit dizzy, but he knew who she was. So he shook her hand. Elizabeth Hansen, he said. Won't you come in? And when they came into the sitting room, Mama and Papa were still holding hands. Now the old flower seller gave up keeping a straight face and burst out laughing. Joachim thought he was a bit like Bishop Nicholas in the magic advent calendar. Elizabeth was left standing in the middle of the room with her red coat over her arm. Round her neck she was wearing a silver cross with a red stone in it. And when John at last managed to stop laughing, he got up from his chair and said, perhaps I should introduce you. This is Elizabeth Tebersil Hansen, one and the same person. I came a few minutes ahead of her, but here she is. Mama and Papa looked confused. So just in case, Joachim stood in front of them, started flapping his arms and saying, fear not, fear not, fear not. Only then did they get up from the sofa to shake Elizabeth's hand. Mama took her coat and brought another chair. Papa went to fetch another coffee cup from the kitchen. It appeared that she spoke only English. And when they'd all sat down again, Papa spoke in Norwegian all the same. I think I must ask for an explanation, he said. I think I almost demand a proper explanation. And I'll give it in Norwegian for the boy's sake, said John. It's to his credit that we're all able to be here today. It looked as if the woman with the necklace understood what he was saying, for she looked down at Joachim and smiled. "Go on," said Papa. "When I came to see you yesterday, I knew already that Elizabeth was on her way to Norway," began the flower seller. "Why didn't you tell us?" cried Mama. John chuckled. "One doesn't open a Christmas present before Christmas Eve. Besides, I couldn't be quite sure whether she really would come. I couldn't be quite sure who would be coming." Papa had begun to shake his head. For a while, it looked as if he would never get it back straight again. No, I don't understand this," he said. So John explained what had happened. "It began several days ago when I talked to Joachim on the phone. For many years, I've tried to trace either a certain Elizabeth or a certain Tebbesiel, for I was convinced that she was the one and the same person. But it was Joachim who hinted to me that perhaps Elizabeth used Tebbesiel as her last name. I called information. I was given a telephone number in Rome, and I rang her. It didn't take her long for her to remember me from those magic days in April 1961. Elizabeth tried to say something, but John interrupted her with a wave of his hand. "I told her the story of a mother who had lost her child in 1948. That's how I could tell her who she was. She came to town late yesterday evening. She had not set foot in this place since she disappeared that December day 45 years ago." Papa jumped up from the sofa and went to the phone. "What is it?" asked Mama. "I promised to phone Mrs. Hansen as soon as I heard anything new." John laughed. "Elizabeth stayed with her mother last night. They scarcely closed their eyes, but everything is in good order, I assure you." "Well then, I must phone the police," insisted Papa, "so that they can close the old case of the girl who disappeared." "That's been arranged as well," replied John. "You can't have heard the news today. The whole country's delighted about it." Papa sank back onto the sofa. There was nothing more for him to do. He could only sit and listen to the rest of what John had to say. "May I ask a question?" he said. "Exactly what did happen in December 1948? And don't tell me that Elizabeth set off after a lamb and met an angel called Ephiriel." He turned towards Elizabeth and asked her the same question in English. She put her hand to her mouth to keep her from an explosion of laughter and signed to John that he should answer. "She always begins to laugh when we talk about that," explained John. "We can't agree on it. I'll give you Elizabeth's explanation first. She thinks the police in this town did a very bad job, but I think we should begin at the other end." "Begin at whatever end you like, as long as you get to the end that meets," said Papa. "Elizabeth grew up in a little village near Bethlehem," said John. "The people there lived off the poor land they tilled, but even this poor land was taken away from them. When I met Elizabeth in Rome in the spring of 1961, she had lived in different refugee camps, first in Jordan, afterwards in Lebanon. She went to Rome in order to explain the refugees' situation. Well, never mind. We can talk about that later. But Elizabeth really did go to Bethlehem in December 1948. She came to poor, persecuted people who needed God's help. That's what she meant when she said she'd been kidnapped by an angel. She meant she'd been kidnapped by someone who wanted to help the people in the villages around Bethlehem. She grew up there as a shepherd girl, so she was able to stroke the soft fleece of the lambs at an early age, just like Elizabeth Hansen in the magic advent calendar. So she suddenly disappeared in Rome," said Papa. "Why didn't she want to see you again?" "I've asked myself that question many times in the years that have passed since. The answer is that she had to be very careful about who she talked to. That was why she turned her name upside down and took Tebbesiel as her surname. We mustn't forget that there was a war in the country she came from. Elizabeth was afraid of being kidnapped again." "Go on," said Papa. "When I told her I believed her angel story, her suspicions were aroused. She was afraid I might be a dangerous person where her own safety was concerned and for the Palestinian people." "But wasn't Elizabeth Norwegian?" Mama wanted to know. "Yes, she was Norwegian. Elizabeth thinks she was kidnapped by some very unhappy people who were willing to do almost anything so that the world should have its eyes open to the suffering of the Palestinian people." "All the same, it was dreadful to kidnap an innocent child," said Mama. "Of course you're quite right. Elizabeth thinks they must have intended to take her back. Perhaps the people who kidnapped her wanted to try to get her father to write in the papers about all the people who had driven from village to village and finally herded into a huge refugee camp outside their own country." "So why wasn't she taken back?" interrupted Papa. "Elizabeth says she remembers very little until she was looked after by a big family in a tiny village outside Bethlehem." "And what is your explanation?" asked Mama. "You know what that is already," said John. Joachim was sitting on the edge of his chair. "You think she did follow the lamb with the bell and met the angel Ephiriel in the woods?" he asked. John nodded. "I still do." "No," said Elizabeth. Yes, said John. No, said Elizabeth, and laughed. The others began laughing too. You mustn't start quarrelling, said Joachim, and you shouldn't start thumbing your noses at each other either. I believe Elizabeth's story, said Papa. And what about you, asked John, looking at Mama and Joachim. I believe 24 times more in John's story, said Joachim. Then I'll have to vote 12 times for John's story and 12 for Elizabeth's, decided Mama, because I think a few angels have flown to Bethlehem this Christmas and back again here, for that matter. But Joachim is right when he says we mustn't start quarrelling, even though we believe slightly different things, said John. That's the message of Christmas too. Maybe it's the greatest of all truths, that the glory of heaven is easily scattered, at least if we humans share in dividing it out. When I wrote on those scraps of paper that I folded up so carefully and put inside the magic advent calendar, I had a few clues. I'd heard about Elizabeth Hansen, who disappeared. I'd met Tebaseel in Rome, and I had the old angel story to rely on as well. The rest of it, I had to imagine myself. Silence fell in the sitting room. You managed it very well, said Mama. John smiled shyly. The imagine also is a tiny piece of the glory of heaven that has strayed down to earth. It too can be scattered very easily. It's all amazing, said Mama. We open the last door in an old advent calendar and hear about Elizabeth, who goes into a stable in Bethlehem to welcome the Christ child into the world, and immediately afterwards, that same Elizabeth rings the doorbell in our own house. So it almost seems as if this house is the same as the stable where Jesus was born. She stood up, put her arms around Elizabeth. Welcome back to Norway, my child, she said. And that was a funny thing to say, since Elizabeth was almost 20 years older than Mama. Thank you very much, said Elizabeth, and she said those words in Norwegian. A little later, the phone rang. Papa took it, and Joachim knew at once who he was talking to, because he heard Papa say, well, we're all overwhelmed. The Christmas present of the year, Mrs. Hansen. Yes, now I believe in angels as well. Here she is. And a happy Christmas, a very happy Christmas to all your family. And Papa made a sign to Elizabeth and gave her the receiver. She spoke English, so Joachim couldn't understand what she was saying, but he thought it must be strange to talk to your own mother in a foreign language. Before long, Elizabeth and John had to leave, but they would all meet again after Christmas because Mama and Papa and Joachim had been invited to a big Christmas party at home with Elizabeth's family. The guests were escorted to the front door. Outside, it was snowing heavily. Papa asked whether Elizabeth could remember any Norwegian from when she was small. She stood under the outside light while the snow poured down on her red coat, and suddenly she bent down, stretched out her hand as if she was trying to catch the dancing snowflakes. Lambkin, 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 she said. She put her hand up to her mouth in alarm. The next moment she started running, and a few seconds later she and the old flower seller were gone. Late that evening, when Joachim was going to bed, he stood for a long time in front of his window, staring out into the Christmas night. There had been a huge fall of new snow, but now it was clear enough to see the stars. Suddenly he caught sight of some figures running past down on the road. It was not easy to keep his eye on them, but he could see them only in the light of the street lamps, and the sight lasted for only a second or two. And Joachim thought he had recognized the angel Ophiriel and all the others who had accompanied Elizabeth to Bethlehem. That night, they escorted her back. For those of you who've not read the Christmas mystery with us, there's still lots of truths to be found in that chapter. And it's a great book, so I really do encourage you to go back and read it at some point. It's really good. The ending of that story really does place us along with Elizabeth, and that same decision that Elizabeth had as she stood in front of the cave, the stable, on that first Christmas is where we stand today. We stand outside of that moment, being invited in. Now, Elizabeth didn't have to go in. She could have just stayed outside, but it would have been such a waste of that 2,000 years of preparation and that journey that she took over those 24 days. But also, the Joachim's family, Papa and Mama, were asked to do the same thing. Elizabeth turned up and with the story, and they were invited to step in. Step into the story or not, whichever story it was, whichever angel they imagined they were following. And so we find ourselves with the same decision as to where we sit in the Christmas mystery and in the story of Jesus. Do we step into the stable and sit there and be a part of Jesus's life and allow Jesus to be a part of our lives? Do we step into the story of 2,000 years of history that we saw through the Advent calendar story of how Jesus' message of love and peace has changed our world? Have we got eyes to see the mystery that is unfolding before us? Because that's one of the things that stands out for me in that final chapter about John describing how he drew the Advent calendar. He said that as you understand more, you see more. And as you see more, you understand more. But the decision to understand is a choice that we all have to make at some point in our life and continue to make, to understand and to see those bits of the glory of heaven that have strayed down to earth. In this book, described as flowers and humans, and in this chapter, imagination itself, that we as human beings must share with one another. So I'm here to share a bit of the glory of heaven with you, which is the good news that Jesus is at work in our world, if you have eyes to see him there. And so I wonder where you stand in that stable scene. I wonder where you stand in the 2,000 years of history. Are you willing to open your eyes and to see the glory that is all around us? Hidden, maybe particularly at this moment for you, behind a great deal of distress and darkness. But it is a choice to rejoice, is where we started this Advent. A choice to see God in all things, because he is here among us. Because he came in the person of Jesus, unmistakable. He is still here, moving amongst us, if we have eyes to see. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are not a God who is distant and remote, but you are a God who draws near. You're a God involved in the stories of our lives, inviting us to join your story. Pray that this Christmas we would see you at work in our lives, that we would seek you out where you may be found, even if that is a really difficult thing to do. Lord, open our eyes to see you and to see your glory, small and yet very powerful. We ask this in Jesus. Amen.